is Tennessee Talks with United States Congressman Tim Burchett.
Hello, everybody. I'm Congressman Tim Burchett. Welcome back to another episode of Tennessee Talks. This week, there's a lot going on. Of course, the FBI is investigating a second attempt on President Trump's life. Odd thing about this whole thing is there's a couple of things. How was this guy able to wait in the bushes for 12 hours without being spotted? I've talked to a couple of former Navy SEALs. One was a sniper, and you know they should have had heat signature equipment out there spotting that. And of course, I was at I go every weekend to a football game, a high school football game in my area, and they of course have the drones flying over. Literally, this thing could see the part in my big fat head, and it's just the clarity of that. And yet they didn't have that flying over President Trump, knowing that he would be out there. Of course, it wasn't on his, they call it his off-the-record schedule. And so that bears the other question is, why would somebody know to come out there other than he's in Florida, likes to play golf on the off chance he's going to come by there? Another question that, of course, if it should send chills down your spine is the fact that this guy stuck the rifle through the fence. If he'd done like snipers will do, they just cut a hole out and stay back in the weeds, and then line of sight would have been similar to what he had, and yet you wouldn't be able to see the barrel, and we might be having a different discussion today, and that would be very tragic. And of course, the Secret Service, they didn't check the perimeter of the golf course before he played, and you know, you have these bureaucrats get up there and try to explain it away and say, and you know, we did our job, that's how we stopped him. Well, the agent on the ground did his job or her job, the one who fired three or four shots to make the guy run off, but the leadership didn't do their job because they didn't have the right people there that were checking the perimeter, that were looking for things that were, that shouldn't have been there, and that was clearly the case. Of course, the Washington deal is they've already started. They want more funding. That's coming from the president. That's coming from leadership. That's always what they ask for, more funding. They got a $3 billion budget. They got around 6,000 people that work for them. Vast majority of those are bureaucrats. They need to get back to their what I think they need to be doing is providing protection for foreign dignitaries and folks in elected office. They have a whole group that does nothing but goes after counterfeiters. They ought to put that over in the Department of the Treasury, let them handle that, and then let the Secret Service provide protection. I think that would help. Also, I feel like they've got a culture over there. It's not a spending or funding issue. It's a culture issue. Even the former director, she got up, remember, Stephanie Cheadle, she was, I called her a DEI nightmare, horror story, excuse me, and she was, couldn't answer a question, and then we expect the people in the same leadership structure are going to come in and clean it up. Like my dad used to say in education, we always hire the people to fix the problem that probably created the problem. And that's what you're seeing now. And what's going to happen is, and of course, the acting director, he's already come out and said that the failures of the assassination attempt were not due to a lack of resources, but then they're saying, on the other hand, they could use more resources. So, and of course, the left has ramped up their vitriol. You saw poor old Hillary Clinton out there blasting it, saying that the media needs to turn it up. I don't know how much more they could turn it up. You've got major newspaper articles with there's one I saw, a drawing of Trump with a Hitler mustache. I mean, those kind of things, that's what happens. It's like MK Ultra, where they CIA was using mind-controlling drugs and other things to basically turn people into zombies to go after, mind-control types of things. They said it didn't exist. They got caught in a lawsuit. They got caught lying. They were doing it. But they put this stuff out over the airwaves, just this continuous assault, and in some nutcase is going to end up pulling the trigger, and that's exactly what's happened more than once. and more than twice, actually. Some legislation I'm working on. Last week, I introduced a bill to condemn the Taliban as a terror group and encourage the United States and other countries to participate in the Vienna process. You're thinking, Bertie, what's that going to do? You know, I thought you were against all the bureaucracy. Well, what it actually does is force our hand in other countries that know we have the Taliban as an enemy to collaborate. That's another one of those think tank words the young people love to use. They used to go collaborate like that. And so what it forces them to do is identify the Taliban as a terrorist organization, and we don't duplicate everything. We don't go after one segment, and then another group goes after that same segment of it. We identify the enemy, and we segment it that way. And so that it's a unified front. It'll actually save us money. And I owe a great deal of gratitude to my buddy Scott Mann, who's a former Green Beret, and a guy named Legend. That's what he goes by. He's been on my podcast, earlier. So you couldn't see his face. He's an Afghan-American former non-commissioned officer, and he's given us a lot of information. He's the one that gave us the information about through Sean Ryan on the Sean Ryan podcast, who I am greatly indebted to for telling us that we are actually using tax dollars to pay the Taliban millions of dollars a week. And we got the federal government to admit to it. Now we're just waiting on Schumer to get off his butt and do something with it on the Senate side. So I'm hoping that'll happen. I talked to Sean Ryan about that this at length this weekend. And Sean, of course, has his own podcast. It's probably, I think, number two in the world right now in a lot of markets. He's a former CIA contractor, and he's also a former Navy SEAL. And he helped me with that. If it wasn't for him, it wouldn't have happened. The House this week will vote on a continued resolution. It's the same bill as last week. It's a six-month extension attached to the SAVE Act. And everybody's saying, Bert, you got to vote for the SAVE Act. We got to have it on there. It'll stop illegals from voting. Well, folks, voting is going to start, is already starting, I believe, right now in Pennsylvania. Early voting is starting in 30 days with most states. We'll never get this thing enacted. This is all just window dressing. So people can feel good about voting for a terribly bloated budget. And it's actually Pelosi and Schumer's spending that was done during COVID. And so we're going to continue that with COVID not here. We burn up the printing press, printing money. And that's exactly what we're doing with these horrible woke programs. It's going to force conservatives to vote for it. And here's the little thing that people don't remember. We already passed the SAVE Act in July. So it's already over there. They've already said they're not going to vote on it. They're going to say they're not going to vote on it again. What's the difference between now and July? We've already done it once. We're going to do it again. And then it's just going to force a bunch of conservatives or moderates to vote for terrible spending. And to me, that's not a negotiation. That's not the way you negotiate. We should have been passing the SAVE Act every week and calling a press conference every week on the steps of the Capitol, demanding Chuck Schumer and the Senate to do something about it and exposing them instead of doing this thing, which won't get any press. Nobody will know what we did except for the base. We've got less than 2 weeks to fund the government, and then we'll vote on a few woke policy bills and crack down on some illegal immigration, but I don't think it's going to happen. Also, the Protecting Americans Investment from Woke Policies Act, it will make sure that financial institutions only base their investment decisions on economic factors. In the past, they've been doing it on a lot of this crazy stuff that's out there that has nothing to do with economic policies. You've got people on these boards that are forcing this, and you've seen, like with Harley Davidson, and how they've had to back off all their stuff. Their stock prices plummeted, and their sales have plummeted. Heck, people are, I got some Harleys. And people are pulling their own emblems off their bikes because they're embarrassed about it. The End Woke Higher Education Act ensures colleges are not forced to commit DEI principles to require accreditation and protects free speech on campus. Very good piece of legislation. I'm looking forward to voting for that. The Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act, and it would create a ground of inadmissibility for illegals who commit sexual assault. We make excuses for these people, and they're criminals. Trump's right. They dumped a bunch of criminals on us, and we're just taking them in. 14 million people. They're not all criminals, folks. A vast majority of them are just good, hardworking people wanting to do better for the country. But there's a right way to get in, and there's a wrong way, and these folks are coming in the wrong way. No bailout for Sanctuary Cities Act. It prevents some federal funding from going to sanctuary cities. And we all know what that is. That's these cities where they allow the illegals to come in and provide their protection and just a free place to live. We've got veterans living out on the street, and yet we're not taking care of them. We're going to send money that we don't have to folks that aren't American citizens, that don't respect us. And you want somebody to respect this country, learn it. Learn how to learn about capitalism. Work your butt off like a lot of our past immigrant folks have done, and work their way into the system. That's the way you keep America a productive society. That's about it for the week. It's going to be a pretty busy week. A lot of virtue signaling and some really decent legislation that I hope to see passed. So anyway, I'm Congressman Tim Burch, and I want to thank the folks at Rumble once again.
That it? Yeah, I got one right there.
They let us use their studio, and it's very cool. And I really like being associated with them. They've been great partners in this. And as always, I'm Congressman Tim Burch, and thank y'all for listening and watching another episode of Tennessee Talks. And as always, thank y'all for sitting here.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Tennessee Talks. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Keep up with Congressman Burchett by following Rep. Tim Burchett on Twitter and Instagram, and Congressman Tim Burchett on Facebook and YouTube.